This is episode 236, recorded April 3rd, 2015. Packard pokes at Gay Pac-Man wants wedding cake and salsa. I want to thank Karn33333 from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packer Pokes at. I am Frog Sonic, and along with my co-host here tonight, Joe Unseen.
Exterminate! Exterminate! Fucking boring, Sydney. Fucking boring.
And joining us from the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
This just in, tomb still empty because Jesus probably never news at 11.
I'm sorry, you cut out. Did you say what? Never what?
Never what? Yeah.
Jesus probably never what?
Never existed.
Oh, there
yes.
You go.
Yes, okay. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
Oh, okay. I thought you were joking.
No, you actually did. No, you actually did cut out
a little bit. I'm like, please say she said never existed. Please say she never existed. You answered my prayers.
Yes. Well, because I'm real, and God is.
Well, I would work at this one. I was working at this one place. People would be, you know, hey, say Happy Easter. I say, yeah, Happy Zombie Jesus Day to you too. So,
someone at work wished me a Happy Easter or Passover, whichever it may be, and oh. I said, yeah, you too.
Nice.
Fertility Day.
It's oh yeah.
Like, it's Tara.
Oh, it's Ishtara Day. Yeah, it's Tara Day. Yeah, it's from the old pagan. Festival, right. So yeah. So when you're out there giving your Easter baskets to your children, you're telling them to go and fuck.
Oh God, Packard.
No, that's what it means. The basket, the rabbit represents the rabbit represents fertility. So you're still and the eggs represent the children. So go out there and tell your children to fuck with lots of grass. You know that grass multiplies. You know, you get like two or three pieces of that plastic grass. You put it in a closet. You come back, and it's just like literally everywhere. It's like fucking hangers.
Okay, then. I apologize for that bunny trail.
That's literally. Okay. It's the Easter weekend, so there's lots of bunnies out there.
You're going to be multiplying tonight, I'm afraid. So.
Yes. Well, some people will be multiplying, I'm sure, tonight. They'll take one set of legs and turn them into two. Okay. Well, that's totally off topic.
Now I can't get the song Peter Cottontail out of my head. Thank you very much. It's got like porn background music to it. Just no.
Anyway. I can just picture the Peter Cottontail with a porn track behind it. So anyway,
we just started the show going really into Gutter Town. So
well, hey, awesome. It's.
So you have that? You have a copy of that? Because if you could send that to me. That would be great.
You have a home video you need that for, Joe?
Joe's into rabbits. Anyways, speaking of rabbits, we've got a lot of hopping news. So let's get on to that right now. Out in Indiana, the governor out there, he decided to turn up the heat on anybody who is gay by proposing a bill and then signing that bill to have businesses there be able to discriminate against homosexuals. And just to give you an idea on how fucking two-faced this guy is, he made an amendment to the bill saying that, you know, the bill, it needs to be fixed. And then he would go on to conservative radio and whatever. Then he would say the complete opposite, say, oh, no, this is a good bill. The bill is just fine. We don't need to change it. And then it was either yesterday or today. No, I think it was yesterday. Yesterday, as the day of this broadcast, we do this on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. He did this on Thursday with very little fanfare. In fact, there was no fanfare. He did it behind closed doors, no cameras. I don't even think they didn't even allow his dead grandmother's ashes to be in the same room while he was doing this. He changed the bill. They had the bill amended so it was less offensive, as it were. And the reason why is because they were basically telling, if you had a business and someone was gay, you could say, you know what, because you're gay, I don't want to do business with you. I'm not going to sell you my goods, which is kind of fucking stupid. You're in the business to do business. You're out there and you hang out your shingle for a cake, cookies, suits, anything. If you sell to the general public, you should sell to everybody, not just because of what they do behind closed doors. It's none of your goddamn business. Kind of your thoughts.
Well, this is all blowing up because way back when Clinton was president, they put a bill into effect, a law that said, was called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And primarily this dealt with Native American rights to practice their religion. And the problem with Native Americans was they have sites that they consider to be holy.
Right.
And to be able to practice their religion, they needed those sites protected. And for some reason, Indian laws, this wouldn't happen. We're not fully protecting their lands.
Right.
And the other thing was sometimes they use peyote in their holy rites. And so
that'd be marijuana for religion. That'd be marijuana for you and me and everybody else.
Well, actually, peyote is
not marijuana.
I'm just kidding.
It's a cactus.
It makes you trip
so,
balls.
Yeah.
First that experience, Joe?
Hell yeah.
Okay. You can tell me about it later.
And what gets me is that some very, very clever religious law lawyers and leaders have decided that this is a really good way to protect their right to be bigoted. And they keep saying, well, we're not being bigoted, you know, but we just have an objection to providing services for, you know, LGBT weddings. And I'm trying to say it's different than, you know, black segregation and those laws.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I'm going, you know, and therein is the flaw in what they're saying. Because what they're actually saying is that, well, black people are born black, but nobody's born gay. They think that gay is a choice. I'm just laying this out there. This is what I central problem is. They will refuse to acknowledge the idea that, you know, gender, and sexual orientation are not cut and dry. It's not black and white.
Right.
Even if you have the right, it doesn't mean that that's how you identify.
Right.
It cannot help because there are people who are bisexual. And I know as a Christian, they were saying, well, they're just confused.
Yeah.
That was what they thought. Well, they just can't decide which they want. And so it's so frustrating. There was this pizzeria in Indiana this last week who unfortunately now they've got like $200,000 or $200 million have been raised for them.
$200,000.
But they were attacked basically because they were just attacked
on Yelp and they lost and they asked for like $25,000, you know, and they got like half a million or something like that.
But it's the father of the daughter who's running the place who has said, well, you know, I chose to be heterosexual. They chose to be this. And it's just such ignorance.
Those people who say that they chose to be heterosexual, I'd like to say, or whatever, you know, I'd like to say, okay, prove it. Show me how that you chose to be that way.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, I heard this a while back, and I thought it was kind of interesting thought. What if our actual our default position for our sexuality is not one or the other? It's actually bisexual. Because we're basically human beings. One, you know, we're basically cut from the same cloth, as it were. You know, this DNA wise. Because when every person comes that's ever come out starts out female, and then you either become male or female. So what if, like I said, what if the gender that it's supposed to be gender neutral? Because if you're just one thing or the other, but I mean, physically, but not biologically inside your brain, that maybe we're supposed to be able to do both. You know what? That's the default position. I apologize. I'm feeling under the water, so I'm going to be babbling randomly. Joe, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm still so used to waiting for you to say, Joe, your thoughts. Like, I seriously was waiting for that. But, okay. But yeah, I do have some thoughts on this. This has been in the news a lot lately. It's a big issue. I think it's impressive that so many large companies have come out to tell Indiana, hey, you need to change what the fuck you're doing because this isn't cool. And they're doing that on their own without customer pressure. They're just doing that. Like big tech companies.
Right.
There's a
Walmart.
I heard there was some. Oh, that's down in Arkansas. Arkansas was considering a similar bill. And Walmart, you know, like all liberals love Walmart.
Yeah, we love us our Walmart.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the place where I go buy my walls. Oh, no.
Walmart is headquartered in Arkansas, and Arkansas was considering a law similar to this, and Walmart actually said to them, like, hey, listen, you know, that's not cool. Like, we don't need to go down the road of Indiana here. And now Arkansas and Indiana are both reconsidering the harsh language of their laws and looking to reword them.
Yeah. And just a side note on that, Joe, as soon as the governor in Indiana changed, you know, the laws, you know, or redid the laws there.
Did he sign it?
As far as I know, he did sign that. And we just did talk about that.
Connie, did you sign it?
Yes. Yeah. And so did Arkansas. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, and so did Arkansas. I mean, that's literally at the same time because
Arkansas did first.
Oh, yeah. Was it first? Because I thought, as I remember hearing it, I thought maybe Arkansas was like watching Indiana, what they were going to do. And they said, okay, oh, well, they got to redo the bill. Oh, well, and we better do the same, you know. So.
Well, there might be a time.
This is a great example of public pressure working for the cause of good.
Yes.
I mean, the whole Chick-fil-A boycott thing, we lost that one. Yeah. We were fucked over on that one. Like, everybody was like, oh, Chick-fil-A, a bunch of assholes. And, like, people lined up and were like, we need to support Chick-fil-A and their bigotry. And we completely lost that one. But this one, we seem to be winning.
Yeah.
We're actually like, woohoo, yay.
And you know what's funny about that, Joe? I like the way you put that. Is that many of the Christians out there that are on the side of, you know, the wrong side of history on this, they are saying that they're being persecuted because we're using public opinion, and you know, and these businesses are basically stepping out on their own to say, hey, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. So they think they're being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
But turn it around, if somebody
kettle black.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Turn it around, and they have no problem boycotting something that they don't like for whatever reason, and they feel perfectly justified in that. It's like, oh well, we're doing it because of our religion. It's like, so what? We're doing it out of sight of, you know, what's decent in human beings should be like. Anyway,
right?
Yeah. Well, that's a big story. It's an ongoing story.
Well, and there are other states that are considering legislation like this. Texas is one that even has probably even a broader scope that they want to be able to allow religion to do it. But we'll just have to see whether they move forward with them after what's happened in Indiana and Arkansas, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. You know what? The one thing I did like about this is the fact is that several other states, like New York and I think Washington State, said all travel and that, you know, government-wise and dealing with the states is cut off immediately. And we are going
to
review.
The city of San Francisco, the state of Connecticut, a lot of states and municipalities stepped up and said no publicly funded transportation to those states that have those kind of laws on them. So it's businesses reacting, and it's also governments, local governments reacting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's good too. I mean,
even NASCAR.
Yeah.
I was
really
surprised.
NASCAR?
Yeah, NASCAR, yes. Yeah.
Now they, obviously
so
they
Walmart and NASCAR was like, no.
I know.
And Indiana
is the Twilight Zone.
I know. And Indiana, the NASCAR is Indiana. You know, the Indianapolis 500.
God. Yeah. I was that just floored.
We're gonna take our track and we're gonna go somewhere else. Yeah. We're now gonna be the
Kentucky
Arkansas
500 next to the Creation Museum.
Yeah, we're gonna be the California 500 from now on. You know, and you know, I love the memes that came out. And there's this picture of Harrison Ford and says, "I'm changing my name to California Jones."
Yes, I almost thought Joe made that.
Was that you? Was that yours, Joe?
No, I didn't make that. Oh, I made one of Jesus talking to some children, and I had it say, "Remember to love your neighbors, unless they're gay. Fuck them if they're gay." I threw that on Twitter. I got a little bit of traction, a few retweets, but I've noticed like even my religious friends on Facebook are sharing memes of Jesus saying like, "Hey, you know, don't discriminate or hate your neighbors." And it says underneath, like I saw one actually this afternoon, and it said, "Well, what if they're homeless? What if they're gay? What if they?" And then at the bottom it said, "Did I stutter?" and you know, I don't normally, you know, like the religious memes that are shared. I like that one. I liked it. I commented on it. I was like, "Hell yeah!"
I'm loving how.
I mean, Jesus did say, "Bring my enemies before me and slay them with a sword." But I'm not going to get into that with you.
You might have met Pat Robertson and Brian Fisher, though.
Yeah.
I know, right? Wait till next week on Right Wing Watch when they start putting up all the Pat Robertson clips. Like, well,
yeah.
You need to get the Indiana governor. And you need to pray for him and maybe stab him in the face.
Pat Robertson's is a piece of work, but fortunately there are people out there who are doing things that are well more important than what Pat Robertson does. And let's get onto that right now. Let's just take, for example, if I have an egg and I just have just an egg, that does not make a cake. If I just have flour, that doesn't make a cake. If I have water, yeast, and all that other good stuff or whatever goes into cakes, I just eat them. I don't make them. But I know there's a lot of ingredients there. But those things separately don't make a cake. There's this the stuff I'm talking about here. What this does is when you get these particular chemicals or these things together that are literally from a remedy from over 1,000 years, almost 1,000 years ago for just eye infections, it kills off superbugs like antibiotic-resistant staph. And this is – the antibiotic staph is our fault. It's your fault. It's everybody's fault because people go out and they buy these – lotions that they say, "Oh, I got to buy the anti-germ lotion," and it doesn't kill all the germs. And the germs that that survive, they evolve to go, "Okay, I can live through this," and they reproduce, and then they get stronger and stronger, and pretty soon we've got those superbugs. And this stuff here wipes them out. And why it works, I'm not sure yet. But what's really interesting is the fact is one of the ingredients. We were talking about this on our staff meeting, is it's got wine and bullock's gall and mixed with leek. And we didn't know what the bullock's gall was. We thought it was Connie thought it was cow piss, but it's actually bile. It's actually cow bile.
I was relieved I said that, you know, this doesn't sound right, but that's all I could think of.
Yeah, well, hey, you didn't know. I didn't know.
Oh, my
gosh. It was like, but the thing is, in this old remedy, you put all these things together and you let it stand for 9 days in a brass vessel. And brass is kind of reactive to certain chemicals. I mean, because if you, like, say, put a bleach in a brass bowl or whatever, you get a chemical reaction of some sort. There's always some kind of chemical reaction with brass. And they've put all these things together, and they let it sit. And then they've got this new remedy that's literally out of the Stone Age. Connie, your thoughts?
Evidently, yeah, they think that it's the copper in the brass because it's a mixed metal. And when you look at the ingredients, there's bullock's gall, which is the cow bile, which would be really acidic. And you have crop leeks, which I'm assuming are just leeks, members of the allium family, and garlic.
And
both
yeah.
garlic and leeks have antibiotic properties to mm-hmm. them. And wine itself is an antioxidant, and it's, you know, if you don't take care of wine, it becomes vinegar. So again, it's kind of acidic. And this is really interesting that it'll kill that, you know, 90% of MRSA,
mm-hmm.
which, according to the article, you know, 2 million people a year. I'm sorry, Joe?
You say MRSA, MRSA, MRSA.
Oh.
I made a joke. I'm sorry.
Yes, you did. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. I was talking.
That's okay.
Back to you, Connie.
I do want to make a comment here. It says it says from the article here, I still can't quite believe how well this 1,000-year-old antibiotic seems to be working. When we got the first results, we were utterly dumbfounded. We did not see this coming at all. I love that about science. Especially we look at everything and then they say this is not what we expected. We didn't actually expect anything, and the fact that this did something is just eureka moment. Do you have any other comments on that then, Connie?
Oh, no. I was just saying that, you know, 2 million people a year are infected by MRSA mm-hmm. and 23,000 die.
Yeah.
And I used to be very much about, you know, some natural remedies, you know, for taking care of things. And that I'm actually not surprised when I look at the list of ingredients, because again, I'm not a chemist. I'm not a scientist at all or a doctor, but I can see why
you cook
they
at
might
home, don't you?
What?
You cook at home.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, see, you're a chemist then. You're a food chemist.
Family, let's I've got a new recipe here. Yeah.
Making something is a form of chemistry, but you know, it's
yeah,
it's
they're evidently
chemistry.
Looking at this book. Yeah. Yeah. Which was called the Bald Leech Book. Which I'm like, oh, okay, leeches. That's pleasant.
Well, you know what? They actually did bring back leeches to some degree for like plastic surgery or whatever. You know, someone's got
burn wounds sometimes.
Burn wounds too.
That,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
it brings the blood to the surface and yeah,
right. Yeah. And they put the leech on the infected area, and then it keeps the right. blood from filling up and everything like that. And
it's a different use for an old treatment that yeah. was proven not to work.
Right. Yeah, but
then, we've talked about this on the show before about how there are antibiotics are becoming less effective because they're not developing new ones.
Right.
And like you said, Packard, evolution is causing the bacteria that we are very like not worried about really. Mm-hmm. It's causing them to become antibiotic resistant. And that could be a huge problem because if they're not making new antibiotics, then what are we going to do? So I had the same reservations Connie had when I read this article. It mentions leeks, garlic, and copper, which are huge pseudoscience red flags. Like, these things are miracle cures. And, you know, anybody who knows or who has any experience with reading like crazy pseudoscience blogs knows that these are often touted about as things that are helpful when they're not exactly what they're claiming.
Yeah.
However, this article comes from a pretty reliable source. And if what they're finding is true, if it's replicable and, you know, they can demonstrate it with a experiment, then absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like let us find new ways to fight, or in this case, old ways to fight bacteria.
Yeah.
Do you think, Joe, that maybe the fact that this was from the ninth century and everything is new, it might be that, I don't know, the germs didn't even exist back then, and somehow it might be just an old, I don't know how to phrase what I'm asking, but
I understand what you're saying. I think that the germs back then were probably ancestors of the germs we have now.
Right.
And I think that the people back then were trying just as many things. Like, it might not have been like modern science where they documented their results and all that. But the people back then were farmers.
Yeah.
And farmers are probably the first scientists on the planet Earth. They were like, all right, well, let's try this. It didn't work. Crap. Right. Let's try this. It didn't work. Yeah. Crap. Let's try this. Oh, it worked. Let's do that again next year.
Yeah.
And so if they were trying things and trying things and trying things and they found things that actually worked in this case removing styes, then they were like, fucking A.
Yeah.
Yo, remember that. Next time that comes up, we're gonna do that again.
Yeah.
So if they wrote it down in a book and it still works today, then that's science.
Yeah.
Right.
That's basically how science works. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. I'm gonna eat them.
I love it. I love it. It's going to be my new ringtone whenever Packard calls me. or Connie, but she only calls me in the middle of the night. So.
Google is good for one thing on April Fool's Day is they do something special. And you can still do this. You have to kind of look for it, but it's not real hard. They basically set up their Google Maps so you could play Pac-Man in your local town. And, of course, they have...
Hell, yeah.
Yeah, so... Now, when I first read this, I'm like, oh, my God, people are out in their cars driving around going, all right, I'm going to get the green one or the blue one or whatever and then smash into someone's fucking car. No, I was like, no. This is all done on the virtual map, so this way you can do this from your iPhone, your tablet, or whatever that's out there, and you could do this in at home, too. You just go out there. You can play Pac-Man on your city streets without actually having to leave your house, which is kind of fucking fun. I haven't had a chance to try it myself. I've been a little busy. But the tech game, Pac-Man, came out back in the 1980s and is still a favorite even to today. Kind of your thoughts.
Yeah, I came very, very late to video games. My first time home from college, I went to a pizza place with my parents and my youngest sister, who was 12 at the time, asked her parents for a quarter for the video game. And she was, I said, what's that? And she went over and she was playing Rampage and there was a tabletop Pong and Pac-Man was not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the first home games I ever played were Atari games. So this is fun. I'm guessing, is this a way to solve some road rage? You know, I hate that corner.
I'm gonna eat up all the blue ones that come through here.
And wait, do they have cops? You know, you're
like, right. Well, the cops are the ghosts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ah.
Yeah. Google. I do love how Google's. Constantly changing, you know, their logos, and they play with stuff. It's fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, this is totally fun. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love Pac-Man. I am a huge Pac-Man fan. I grew up.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Pac-Man.
I know you've been a fan of me for some time. No, I'm kidding.
It took me a second there. Yes. I like to play Pac-Man and put Pac-Man in my mouth. No.
Well, that got dark.
I actually have the arcade version of Pac-Man on my iPhone. There's a version available. You can also get Pac-PC, which you can play it on your computer if you mm-hmm. want. And I don't usually take my laundry to the laundromat, but once in a while, my wife and I, we have to go to the laundromat because we have to wash like our comforter and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And so so we go to the laundromat and they have one of those. Ms. Pac-Man / Galagula machines.
Oh, a big arcade game stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's a stand-up arcade. They have two of them, actually. And it's so awesome because it's only – they it says on there, like, put in a dollar. It's a quarter. You just throw in a quarter and you play. So I'm sitting there, like, I have, like, a sock full of quarters for the washer and the dryer. I'm sitting there throwing them into Pac-Man. And
oh,
I'm playing Pac-Man, like I'm going to get the strawberry, yeah! And my wife is like, save some for the dryer. I'm like, dryer what?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm like, here's some paper money. Get from the changer. And bring me half of it. So nice. Yeah, if you can play Pac-Man on your local city streets, that's pretty cool. That's actually awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of awesome. The fact is that you can do that, you know, it's kind of fun. The fact that, you know, kind of
I was playing Pac-Man around Packard's house today. and he didn't even call me and say like, "Yo, what the hell's going on?"
I was asleep at the time. That's why, probably why.
Right. Yeah, right. You're like, I'm sick, and outside your window, you hear meow, 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 meow,
meow. I was kind of mentioned the Pac-Man on the Atari version. You know, the one you bring in your house. They always had that one.
Awful.
It was incredibly awful.
So
like, dur, 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 and they had this. I would listen to the sound, and I would. It sounded like a goddamn chicken was exploding. Brock, brock, brock.
And Packard would know.
Yeah, of course. I had enough chicken. I know what they sound like when they explode.
What a chicken sounds like when it explodes. That's their...
You know what's funny is they say flashing lights give people seizures now, but these people didn't grow up with an Atari 2600 in their living room.
This is true.
Yes.
Or basement.
I mean, it was just like a strobing light in your eyes for hours, and you're like, I'm going to get all the dots.
So tell me, Joe, what are the little octopi, the little things, ghosts, whatever you want to call them? They're different things. What are their names? Do you know their names?
I know their names.
Binky, Inky, Binky, Pinky, and Clyde.
Yep, that's one of them. And sometimes Sue.
Yep.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, in Japan, they actually have different different names for those as well. So there's like they have like three or four different sets of names for
Oikake, Machibuse, Kimagure, and Otoko.
Shut the fuck up! You know their Japanese names.
She's cheating, Joe.
I'm reading them. God, like I could remember that.
Connie's stock just went up like 10,000 times. You just broke the stock market. In the movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World, it's a running joke where he tells the story of how Pac-Man got its name, and the short of it is the game was originally called Paku Paku, but when they made the American arcade version, they were afraid people would scrape out the P to make it an F, so it would be Faku Faku.
So I did not know that. That's like
Pac-Man.
I did not know that, Joe. Thank you.
Well, I learned it from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is a great video game movie, and it's a great movie in general, and everybody should watch it. It's an awesome movie.
Yeah, I'll have to look for that.
Again. It's a really good movie.
Yeah. Speaking of things that cost money, we're going to give you a quick commercial, and we'll be back here in just a few moments.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from CafePress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at Patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
And if you would like to join us and have your say on the show, you can call our phone line here. It's not toll-free, unfortunately, but its number is 857-216-3200. Use PIN number 35368, and we'll hear you on the show. All right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Get a divorce. But isn't that a sin?
Marge, just about everything is a sin. You ever sat down and read this thing? Technically, we're not allowed to go to the bathroom.
If you are...
Yes, we're so professional, we've never heard our bumpers.
In order to get a divorce, you have to get married. And in Oklahoma, they are banning people who do not have faith, or atheists, I should say, from getting married. Actually, it's not quite so much an attack against atheists, although that is kind of implied here. It's more of a thinly veiled attack against the LGBT community. What they've basically said here is that the bunch of Republicans passed a marriage license bill, House Bill 1125, which effectively bans all secular marriages in the state. And it was passed by a Republican majority. It will now go to the state Senate for consideration. They say this one thing, and they don't understand what the fuck they're talking about here, because they kind of cut themselves at throat with the next sentence. It says, marriage was not instituted by government. It is instituted by God. There is no reason for Oklahoma or any state to be involved in marriage. And this is one of the bill's supporters, Republican Dennis Johnson. And the thing here is, if he doesn't want the government involved with marriage, then why are you putting forth a bill to remove it from the government completely? That's you're talking out both sides of your face here. If you want to get your marriage license, you have to go to a clergyman or a pastor or a priest or whatever, so then have them issue your marriage license. And that's just wholly wrong. I think it flies first off in the face of the First Amendment, separation of church and state, because first off, marriage was not invented by Christians or religion in general. It was originally a contract between two people to say, okay, when I die, you're going to get my shit, and then this way my kids will be taken care of, or any progeny I have will be taken care of should something happen. Kind of your thoughts.
Yes, this Oklahoma bill came from the House, and yesterday on the 2nd, they had the first reading in the Senate. It has not become law yet. It has to pass through the Senate. I went to the website LegiScan, bringing the people to the process, and the encouraging thing, and these are in the comments section below this bill and below this notification that, you know, it's gone to the Senate now, is there are so many people who are saying this is so stupid. People who say, I'm a Christian, but this is stupid. So again, the tide is turning. I think we've got a tsunami swell happening amongst people. They realize that, you know, my faith is one thing and laws are another. But unfortunately, the Tea Parties and the fundamentalists and the Dominionists just don't get the message. And I think it's bigoted and self-righteous Christians are trying to get people upset with the LGBTs by restricting their ability to get a marriage license. And this happened, I think it was in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, that's very short-sighted and it's very delusional. It's just, you know, they can't let their belief in God let them bully others. And what gets me, because, you know, okay, when it comes right down to it, if they want to take that tack, then guess what? When it comes to your tax return and being able to claim married, you know, as a deduction on your tax return. I mean, this is a federal thing. If they want marriage to be all about religion, then claiming an exemption for marriage, I just question whether that would be something that, like, really, guess what? You probably don't get to do that. So, I don't know. You're right. Marriage was originally instituted to be about property and progeny, and for the most part, you know, it was about people with land and holdings and everything else. And I don't know. I there's times I wish that this would just go away, but it will eventually. It's just the fight in the meantime. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of lost my train of thought. That's just the facts that I've found and the things I've found, and I'm encouraged by the backlash, even in the depths of Oklahoma, of people saying this is really stupid. even Christians are saying, what about separation of church and state?
Yeah.
In the comment section. So I'm like, people who are paying attention to this are saying WTF. That was really hard to say. Sorry.
That's all right.
So, yes, that's what I have to say about it. Keep our eyes on this.
Yeah, definitely keep our eyes on this one. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was said years ago. I forget who said it, but they said, you know, religion isn't going to go out with a whimper. It's going to go out clawing and fighting like a wounded animal. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's exactly what we're seeing here is they're trying to pass legislation to restrict the freedoms of gay people. They're trying to pass legislation to restrict the freedom of atheists. And this is it. This is what religion looks like when it's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Connie just said, which is fantastic, faith is one thing, laws are another.
Yes.
Connie, I'm memeing that. That's going to be all over Twitter after the show.
All right.
I'll send you a copy.
Connie, you just made yourself a meme. Awesome. Connie's words became a meme. That's great.
Thank you.
Yes. I wrote it down. Like as soon as she said that, I ran. I was like, where's my pen? Where's a working pen?
Here's one, Joe.
A fucking pen.
No, I found a fucking pen. Thanks, Packer.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah. I feel very honored.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody have any last thoughts on this then?
I had actually several thoughts to say about it, but I've since forgotten all of them.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's okay.
Damn it.
But I don't think like this law in Oklahoma, I don't think it'll hold up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like the Atheist Experience, they've said on their show recently that, you know, atheists like to throw around it's in the state constitutions that atheists aren't allowed to hold public office in like 7 states or something like that.
Yeah.
But there was a Supreme Court decision. I think it was 63 or something like that. That kind of overturns all of those state constitutions. So even though it's still in the state constitution, it's not law anymore.
Right.
Like in the state of Texas or in the state of Tennessee, you could still run for office and be an atheist, an open atheist.
Yeah.
And it does not matter. Like it. Like
yeah. I'm sorry. I would love to see those people go. Someone on the other side, whoever it may be, a Democrat or a Republican, if an atheist runs and says, "Hey," goes, "Hey, he can't run. He's an atheist." It's like
that happens. That's why it comes up all the time. Is because people are like, "Well, it's in our state constitution," and they don't know that it's already been overruled by the Supreme Court, and it would require an act of that state legislature to amend their constitution to remove it, which is why it's still there.
Yeah.
But it's not law. It's not legal anymore.
Right.
And so when I hear of this Oklahoma state law saying that, you know, atheists can't get married, then boom, right there. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
But I would think that Supreme Court decision would negate that kind of law. Like even though they passed it now, I mean, it might have to go to court again. Somebody might have to sue.
Yeah.
But I would think that Supreme Court decision would be a precedent that would overrule that law.
Yeah.
Like yes.
Speaking of that, Karen in the chat room just kind of reminded me there was in the city of Madison, and unfortunately in the town and city of Madison, I think just the city of Madison, they have a new regulation that you cannot discriminate against atheists in anything out there. So if I went to go apply for a job someplace, they found out I was an atheist and they denied me based on that. I could sue them, and I'm hoping that one day that this becomes a state law and not just a law within city limits. Thank you, Karen, for reminding me. That's great.
Hi, I'm Dan of Dan's Discount Dicktown. The prices aren't the only thing we cut. At Dan's Discount Dicktown, we know that you'll feel good when you're sporting new wood.
There's a new dickumentary. It's called
What the Flying Fuck. You need to tell us about these bumpers before you play them. What? I'm quitting the show. Goodbye.
There's a new dickumentary called The Temple of Prius. Priapus.
Priapus.
I think it's Priapus, actually. I think it's pronounced Priapus. Yeah, it's Priapus. It's a church that began in San Francisco back in the 1970s. It's basically to the Greek god of fertility and the son of Dionysus and Aphrodite. Since then, the temple has opened up in several other cities, including Montreal, where this guy. He's the temple prefix named Francis Cassidy. They've been around since the early 1990s. Now, the Montreal Temple and its members are featured in, the, in this documentary, it's called. It's set to roll out on March 31st, it's probably at the end of this month. No, the end of last month, rather, excuse me, on VOD and DVD. In many cultures, the penis is a worshipped symbol. If you're over in Japan, for example, if you get married and you want to have children, they have a special temple you go to, and they have nothing but gigantic penises everywhere. And you go up and you literally, the woman goes up and kisses the penis for good luck. And then they have a...
What does she kiss it with?
Her lips, Joe. She kisses it with her lips, you know, these things on your face.
Where?
These
where
things, the, on the face, not those lips.
No,
Joe.
No. Like where on the penis sculpture is she kissing?
Just anywhere on the penis sculpture.
Anywhere. So it doesn't like so fertility is determined by not the ball kiss, but also the head kiss.
It's
or the shaft kiss.
It,
or the,
I don't know. I've seen.
Is there tongue involved?
She does a pole dance.
She does a pole dance on the tongue. She does a pole dance on the gigantic dick, and she.
That
she spins around,
fertility.
Yeah. No, she goes up.
She's going to have a girl.
She just the woman just goes up and she just and she just kisses the penis for good luck. And they, as I was trying to say,
how many times does she have to kiss each one?
I'm not sure. I know.
Does she have
I know.
To kiss each
I've seen at least.
Temple?
I've seen it
like,
once.
Like
I've seen
from
it once.
One to the other. To the other. To the other.
I don't know. It's just one temple area.
It's kind of like those Japanese cartoons that we all watched on the internet.
What Japanese cartoons, Joe?
At what point do the tentacles come out of the penis?
Yeah, the tentacles with the mushroom ends and the.
That's called hentai. That's something else altogether.
The females always say "kwe" over and over again, like "kwe, kwe, kwe." I have no idea what "kwe" means. It probably means something like.
Anyway,
it probably means something like I should have kissed that penis statue when I got married.
Right. Anyway, once a year they have a penis festival that they literally mark gigantic penises and they like on floats.
This
and whatnot.
Is in Wisconsin?
No, this is in Japan.
Oh, Japan. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait,
I thought
we're
it was in your hometown.
About Montreal. Oh, never mind.
It's in Montreal. Yes, but
the penises are made of sculpted ice.
Yeah, in
there's
Montreal,
guys
yeah.
with chainsaws out there just like, go over the balls again. Why? Because the balls are too big, the penis is too small. Well, I'll just, all right.
Anyway, the penis is revered in a lot of cultures. I'm just giving an example of just one there. In Japan, that's what they do. They have they literally have a penis ceremony, and they do, I don't know what it's for, but they have gigantic
it's
penises.
It's for the penis.
It's for the penis. For the penis. Yeah, basically that. But I mean, there's more meaning to it than just, you know, like, let's just drag around a gigantic dick around for a while. So it's.
You know, it's probably because the penis
problems.
Is easier
white
to
man.
Sculpt
white,
than a vagina.
White problems, right?
White man problems.
White man. That shit is racist.
Connie, your thoughts.
I don't have any. Are you kidding me?
She doesn't own a penis. She doesn't have any thoughts about penises.
So it's my
turn
to talk, right?
This doesn't look anything like David Cassidy. I don't care. His name is David Francis Cassidy.
Yeah.
That's to differentiate him from the other David Cassidy. But there's no way that anybody would mix that up. Well, maybe you would now. Yeah. I was very disturbed to find a picture of the Greek god we're talking about. Priapus.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's real?
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah, he was a Greek god. And anyway, they're, well, yeah, real as gods are. But
right.
the fresco of
yeah,
him.
You can't prove he's
this
not
way.
Real.
He was a knee knocker. It was like, oh my god, put that thing away. You're going to poke somebody's eye out.
Right. Now, this church apparently right now is all guys, and what they do is they have a little service, and then they just kind of do whatever they want to do. Quite
they're
literally, they just say they
guys.
So if they want to get if they're out there and they just feel like they just want to, you know, stroke the weenie, they can do it, and they do this right in the church. Now they said there are currently no females in the church, but they are
big surprise, but they're
you know, actively going, hey, you know, ladies, come on, join the church of the penis.
bunch of old white guys who are lonely, who formed a church of the penis, and they masturbate in front of each other. It sounds like a bathhouse.
And they have, and you know, sometimes they have the little bowls, you know, that you sip out of, whatever. They actually have a picture.
I don't want
to
hear.
They have a little picture of a. Yes. It looks like a penis, and it's semi erect. And then there's where the balls would be. It's a little bowl right there. So you actually have to hold on to the shaft and sip up
from the scrotum.
From the scrotum, yeah, you're sipping from the scrotum.
The other thing I would have to say is the priest. It's really weird when you see he's just wearing a white robe, and obviously he's like. Probably naked from the
waist
from that
down.
Point down, but they don't show that. And he makes me think about Team America, mm-hmm. about their depiction of the leader of Korea, Ron Ree. Ron Ree.
I write Katy Perry.
Now you know there was a question, a comment here that was not a comment from anybody particularly, but it was a. It was a comment that was in the article here. It says, cultures have worshipped it and circumcised it. The film's Facebook page explains, men have always sought to make it larger across 14 countries featuring interviews from more than 40 experts. Now, in the documentary, it tries to answer some of the greatest questions of our time.
Oh, God.
No, here's the questions. Now, these questions I have never thought of myself. I don't know why these are such great questions, because if I haven't thought of them, they must not be that great. For example, they say, whatever happened to Jesus' foreskin? I never thought about that. It's like, well, I'm surprised. You know,
Gary pressed it in a little
it grew back,
right?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's supposedly the son of God. He cut it off, just keeps growing it back.
He turned 12, he touched it, it grew back. And he had to go back to the rabbi. He's like, fuck. This is why God hates masturbation, because he had to go through this from age 12 until age 33. He's like, oh man, I gotta rub. Oh man, I gotta go get this thing cut off again.
The other one of the other questions was, why do Hindus worship Shiva's Ingalam? I have no idea what the hell that is. So I figure you might know that, Joe. So
Shiva's Lingram.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with it.
I love Hindu gods, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't know what a lingam is.
Neither do I. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, what the hell is
a
lingam?
I know Ganesha has a really big trunk, and it's blue.
Now, what's really funny is, on this article here, the fact is most places where they will source their material, they will link to the page. This site was apparently so NSFW. And that, if you don't know what NSFW means, not safe for work, they decided, oh, we're not even fucking linking to this page. So they're too.
That's funny. Sakani's like, I'm at home.
Yeah. And according to the
I'm going to Google search that shit.
Yeah. According to the Montreal Temple's website, it says the church and the church says that the male member is a holy organ. And it should last 4 hours a week, or at least 4 hours a week, should be devoted solely to masturbation or assisting others towards that goal.
No. Science says 4 hours or more is bad for you. You got to go to the ER and get a shot. Crystal told us about that.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you don't get that shot in 4 hours...
Yeah,
don't work no more.
That's right.
It's broken.
Well, we're not talking about using, you know, AIDS here. We're just talking about going and helping others, you know, stroke the big weenie. So if you know somebody, if you're
can't help you at that point, yeah.
Right. If you know somebody out there that desperately needs a hand job, go and help them.
Well, no, we're not talking about AIDS. We're talking about a four-hour-long erection.
Yeah, no.
Which once upon a time I thought was an awesome idea, but now that I know medically that it's a bad idea, it's an awful idea.
Well, they say you should at least
right,
masturbate.
Right, Connie?
You should at least masturbate for up to 4 hours. Like,
of course.
Joe, did you have any additional thoughts on this?
Scrape the fucking skin off for 4 hours.
Eat a lot of lotion, I suppose.
It's going to bleed and shit.
Yeah. Well, it says 4 hours a week, not 4 hours all. Don't do it all one time.
A week. A week.
4 hours a week.
Oh,
yeah.
My bad. I was completely off with the time frame.
Okay.
You stretch that out, it's about 30 minutes to 45 minutes a day. So
It's like for 4 seconds, but 400 times a week. Which is more accurate to what I do.
The only other thing I really want to say is at the bottom of the article, it's a quote. Cassidy does this thing in front of the altar with the candles and the incense, and we stand there naked and we're praying for whatever. And then after, we just do whatever we feel like doing, I'm thinking.
which means they go down on each other.
Maybe. I don't know.
This is
a gay club.
Yes.
That has religious overtones that made it onto some kind of YouTube video, which now has an article that we're talking about.
Yeah. Now, yeah, there was a couple things.
I hope they listen to this episode. We should actually email them and be like, yeah, we talked about you guys.
There's a couple comments from the chat room, both from Karn, 33333. He says, hand jobs for the homeless. And Joe, apparently he thinks you're about to run out of jerkins.
Jerkins?
Jergens. Jergens. You
know.
Oh, it's
lotion. I thought you meant gherkins, like pickles.
The
like,
lotion.
No, I got plenty of pickles.
Joe's got the lotion.
I got pickle like you ain't seen yet.
Do not drop me, senor. I won't drop you, Jose. I lived in the Jose Jalapeno on the floor. Do a little tap dance. We got salsa.
Phyllis Jefferson apparently stabbed her boyfriend in the groin for eating all her salsa. There was apparently some kind of argument. She's out in Akron, Ohio. She allegedly stabbed her boyfriend in the groin with a pen on Sunday evening after he apparently ate all her salsa in the house. Her boyfriend, Ronnie D. Rucker, age 61, told police that he and the accused were arguing about the salsa consumption that she allegedly stabbed him in the groin with the pen. The suspect apparently walked over to the TV and then threatened to knock it on the floor, and he goes, oh, you stabbed me in the groin, but you know what? Don't knock over the TV. That's our lifeblood here, you know. So then. Yeah. And then apparently when Buckner went to grab the TV, you know, to save it, you're like, don't smash the TV. She runs to the kitchen to grab a knife, and then she ended up cutting him in the stomach. So the fact is that if you're going overboard for salsa, don't get me started. Kind of your thoughts.
Well, Phyllis Jefferson is moving on up to the big house on the east side.
Oh, nice.
But you know what? You cannot spell penis without a pen.
Right.
And she needs to go to the temple Priapus and ask for forgiveness. I just saying.
Oh my god.
This is just what? What? Somebody needs some happy pills.
Yes, definitely. You know, they you know what? They do make more salsa. Go to the store and buy some more.
Yes, that's what the Walmart's for, right?
That's right. If you're running out low on salsa and you are going to stab someone in the groin for it, just leave me a message. I'll send you a fucking jar of salsa.
There's not
must be good fucking salsa.
Oh my goodness.
Seriously, fuck you both. Like, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. She is completely in the right here. I mean, that motherfucker ate all the salsa. Like, she's 55 years old. She's got to go to the store and buy more salsa. That motherfucker should have gone to the store and bought two things of salsa, one for him, one for her. And here he is. He's holding up the TV like, oh, I ate all the salsa, but don't fuck with the TV. And she's going to stab him in the groin with a pen?
Yeah.
Like,
well, she did grab
her. Yeah. Like, he needs to fuck off. Seriously.
Well, you can't
like,
now.
She can do better. Yeah. Seriously, she can do better. There are men out there in the world who are more considerate, who will attend to her salsa needs, and he completely deserved getting stabbed in the side.
So he needs a salsa sensitivity class.
Salsa sensitivity. Apparently, she was also arrested a short time later when officers pulled her over on the highway, apparently. And she admitted to stabbing him in the And she, because she said she did it because she wanted to leave. It's like, what? If you want to leave, just fucking leave. You don't need to stab someone to get out the goddamn door. There's a knob on the door. You turn it.
He ate all the salsa.
She can't be expected to cope without salsa. Is that what your argument is there, Joe?
Yes, absolutely. She shouldn't have had to go out into the night, into the wilderness, into the world without salsa. He denied her her escape. And he should pay for it with his life.
For salsa. Salsa or life.
Stronger the salsa. Stronger the vengeance.
Stronger the salsa.
It's salsa vengeance.
Salsa vengeance. She was booked into Summit County Jail for felonious assault. So, yeah.
And tragically, the jail doesn't have any salsa.
And that would be funny. You got any salsa here? Who do I got to stab to get us some salsa in this jail?
It's taco night, but we have no salsa.
She's rubbing her county-issued toothbrush against the concrete floor, making a knife out of it. Like, I'm going to get me some fucking salsa. Oh. What the fuck's he got a load of me?
Oh, man. That's just... I don't know if there's such thing as a food addiction, but apparently she must have been rubbing it into her face or something. Oh, salsa.
This is probably salsa. A reoccurring problem. Like, every night she comes home, like, all I want is one chip full of salsa in my mouth. She walks in the door, and he's just, like, sitting there with, like, the empty jar in his stomach, crumbs of chips all around him in the recliner. And she, like, the fuck, you ate the salsa again? And he's like, we need the salsa. Chuck, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Who says he ate chips? Maybe he just decided, oh, I'm just going to eat it like this.
Yeah, he's just like drinking it. Like, he's
drinking the salsa.
Like it's a cocktail. It's a tomato and cilantro cocktail. He's just like, oh, this is good. I love this stuff. She comes home. She's like, what the hell?
You were double dipping, dude.
He was double dipping. You don't double dip on the salsa. No, it actually doesn't matter.
This jar is empty again. She throws it onto the pile of empty jars. She's like, don't make me get a pen. And he's like, bitch, you better get a knife. She's like, oh, I will.
All right. Well, it's speaking of stuff that's funny, we need to get on to our next topic here.
There's another topic after this?
Yes, we got one more topic after this. Tonight's funny tweet comes from Shummy XXX. That's S-C-H-U-M-M-Y-X-X-X. And he says, when the hostess at the restaurant says, table for two, I always like to look surprised and whisper, you can see her too?
Oh, God. That kind of reminds me of a Facebook post I saw this week where it was like the 10 things that you should do in public that are funny. And one of them – I'll only mention one. One of them was run into a store, any store like a 7-Eleven or a dollar store or anything. Yeah. Just run into the store and be like, what year is it? What year is it? And when somebody responds, it's 2015, you go, yes! The time machine worked, and you turn and run out of the store.
Here's another one, Joe. You're at the mall. Randomly pick somebody out, just start following them all around the mall, everywhere they go. And then they stop and say, "What do you want?" You walk up to her and you go, "Tag, you're it." And then you walk away.
I do that all the time.
Not in a million years.
Actually, I would never do that. I don't want to go to jail.
The wife is in Victoria's Secrets and the man is outside on the bench sitting there going like, I hate being here. I hate my life. And you go and you sit next to him and you're just like, yo, man, what's up? What are you doing later? You want to hang out? I won't make you wait outside a store like this.
Ha, 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 ha.
shocking how many phone numbers you get that way.
No, that's just too funny, Joe. Too funny.
Oh, goodness.
That's how we got your number.
That's how we met. Anyway.
Oh, I love stories.
He stuck his tongue in my ear. He didn't, you know.
Oh, God, I didn't stick his tongue. Shit.
That was just to get my attention because I had my face on my phone. So
it didn't sound like where you're going with it. Please, no.
My daughter is sitting here doing the no,
oh,
dance. No,
I see.
No.
Yes.
So anyway, now we need to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for coming to the chat room. And we had some new faces in here, and we'd like to see that. And if you would like to make a donation to the show, go to patreon.com/PackardPokesAt and make a donation to the show. If you have a Facebook account and you have not liked the show, please go to facebook.com/PackardPokesAt and hit that like button. It would really help us out. And by the way, one last thing. This month is the 4-year anniversary month, and next week we will be playing congratulation videos that have been sent. If you would still like to get your voice in on an audio clip or a video or something, get it to me before Wednesday of next week, and I will get them on the show for next week. And 4 years is a long time to sit behind a camera and do this nonsense. Or behind a microphone anyway. So we'll see you next week. This has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.